This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 28, RoboCop.
RoboCop. I mean, this is a movie that has spawned numerous sequels, rip-offs, remakes. There was that god-awful remake that came out last year. I mean, let's not even consider that. That does not exist.
It inspired RoboWar, the Bruno Mattei not classic, although that was more a Predator ripoff. It just happened to be called RoboWar.
Right, it's inspired Roder.
Yeah, Roder. Yeah.
Not only that, I mean, we had a live-action series, and we had an animated series. I mean, this...
Yeah, a bunch of toys.
Yep. Yeah. As is typical with '80s fare, when you have a hard R movie, what better to do with it than to turn it into a line of toys, you know, made by Kenner. But this is the granddaddy of them all. This is the original RoboCop, the one, the only, the one with Peter Weller.
Yeah, Peter Weller, who is currently a classics professor and a professor of antiquity in Roman history. I forget the university, but mm-hmm. he earned a PhD. I guess he never really did much in the way of acting post RoboCop.
He did a few movies here and there.
A few things here and there, but he just turned toward academia.
Yeah, he actually was in one of the latter seasons of Dexter, and he actually looked like he'd kind of gone to seed just a wee bit physically. But in RoboCop...
Dexter will do that to you.
Yeah. But in RoboCop, I mean, this is a late 80s classic. Peter Weller was in his prime, and it's... we should say this is a movie that was directed by Paul Verhoeven. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul Verhoeven is somebody who, nowadays, I mean, he sort of looked at it with a bit of disdain because of some career choices he made, i.e. Showgirls, Basic Instinct. But, I mean, in his prime, I mean, Paul Verhoeven made, he's a Dutch expat.
Yeah.
Right? And he made a lot of movies in his native homeland that were really, really incredible subversive movies. And then when he came to North America, he made movies such as this one, Total Recall, Starship Troopers. His best movies were ones that actually had a little bit of social satire. RoboCop does have some satire in it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a critique of the times that it was birthed in, the Reagan era. But before I get to that, let's just talk about the actual plot of RoboCop. So Chris, describe RoboCop for us.
Well, I guess you could say this is a dystopian Detroit, although Detroit hasn't really changed since, so it's... Yeah, despite being the birthplace of the automobile, it's a crime-ridden bit of a hellhole. Its population is in decline. It used to be a Midwestern industrial powerhouse a la, I guess for our UK listeners, a la like a Manchester or Birmingham, sort of a Liverpool, really. But again, its population's declined. It experienced white and black flight, where the middle classes just left the city. Mm-hmm. And it was subject to lots of cutbacks, as it is now, and at the time, there's concerns about police budgets and a crime wave, which is a concern now, too. So they devise this robotic, dystopian police officer who isn't saddled with the usual problems a cop might have. Racism, trigger happiness, bad attitude, laying beat downs on homeless people. I don't know, your typical like renegade cop thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess before we get to that, there's an evil corporation who's trying to make a military robot, mm-hmm. and things go horribly awry.
Right. I mean, you're talking about Detroit today, and I mean, yes, Detroit is a city that has fallen hard times. I mean, unfortunately, this is a city that was... At one point, you would say it was one of the great American cities. I mean,
yeah.
It was the birthplace of the automobile. It was the birthplace of Motown music.
Yes.
It was the birthplace of...
Punk rock.
Punk rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had the MC5. The MC5. Mm-hmm. You had I mean, it's Kid Rock City. You know, so many incredible bands came out of Motown. Unfortunately, when the auto industry fled, so did the jobs, so did
the people.
The people. I mean, I gotta say, Detroit does have a bit of a bad rap, and to this day, I mean, despite the fact the city did file for bankruptcy, and...
hey, haven't we all?
I've had at least once or twice. Yeah. About you, but anyway, if any creators are listening, please. Yeah. My name is Juan Valdez.
Yeah, and I am currently unemployed. Yeah.
Exactly. However, I mean, I've been to Detroit. I mean, I've been there 3 times in the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and I do like the city. The city is coming back. I mean, there is a certain
signs of life. Yeah,
there is signs of life. But I mean, in 1988, when RoboCop was Lens, I mean. It's funny because, I mean, it's a dystopian Detroit. It's a future picture of Detroit. I mean, I remember watching this movie as a child. And, I mean, I remember watching it going... And I remember, too, another movie that took place in Detroit as well was Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm.
And both movies depicted Detroit as an absolute fucking war zone. And I remember thinking to myself, I am never going to set foot in Detroit.
Yeah.
To this day, Detroit, is it a war zone? I'm not going to say
it's been eclipsed by the likes of Baltimore and New Orleans, but yeah, it's a quasi war zone.
There you go.
Yeah,
but I mean, back in 88, I mean, so we have the old city of Detroit, and then of course there's the this nefarious corporation called OCP, and they own the police force. So in other words, in this depiction of America, the police have been privatized and they're now owned by a corporation. And,
which is pretty prescient at the time, because now prisons have been privatized. So it's only a matter of time before police forces are as well. You never know. I mean, mm-hmm. look at the case of George Zimmerman. He's sort of a quasi cop. He was a neighborhood watchman who had all the powers of a cop, but you know, unfortunately, as we saw with Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more going for it there too. There's, again, we've got this. Yes, we have this corporation who basically has ownership of the Detroit PD, and it alludes to other sort of corporate the prominence with which corporations have come with the likes of organ transplant and whatnot. So we've got these little spoof ads at the beginning mm-hmm. where you have Yamaha, the company best known for motorbikes and guitars, producing hearts, and they have these ads on TV: "Get yourself a Yamaha heart."
Mm-hmm.
So corporations have taken over every facet of our lives, mm-hmm. from our bodies to, well, every facet of our bodies, with the police force as well. So
there you go. And I mean, it's interesting too, because when you talk about the automated heart, I mean, you know, the automated heart, the automated cop, what have you.
Yeah.
So I mean, we have this this city of Detroit, and it's just a fucking hell. I mean, it's crime ridden. The police are they're about to go on strike. I mean, they're mm-hmm. fed up. They're fed up with losing. Colleagues, compatriots, left, right, and center.
Yep.
And so we have OCP, and we have this corporation which is chaired by the old man.
Mm-hmm.
He's never really given a name.
Given a name, yeah.
But then we have his, I guess you would say, his second command, who is Dick Jones. And Dick Jones is played by the great character actor Ronnie Cox, who was in Deliverance, one of our favorite films.
Yeah.
And Dick Jones has this this prototype he's working on, which is the in the film described as the ED-209,
yeah,
but has been referred to colloquially over time as the ED-209.
Yeah,
tell us about the ED-209.
Yeah, it's a bipedal robot with tons of firepower. That's I guess meant to replace, you know, your standard infantry members in your armed forces. So again, this is a dystopian future where they're looking toward a army that's composed entirely of cyborgs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the unfortunate thing with ED-209 is in the middle of a
demonstration
in the boardroom of this corporation. I guess one of the suits is asked. Yeah, he's asked to pick up a gun and threaten ED-209 just to give it a demonstration. And ED-209 is not market ready, should we say.
A little more beta testing would have been in order, because...
And this cyborg just blows the living shit out of poor Kenny. They killed Kenny.
Oh my God.
And I should say, this is funny. This is in the boardroom, and they could tell that Ed-209 is on the fritz and is going to start shooting, because... You know, it starts repeating, lay down your weapons, lay down your weapons. I'm giving you 15 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds. No one in the boardroom is diving under the boardroom table, like, to escape this thing. They just, they leave poor Kenny to his own devices, and Ed-209 fills him full of fucking lead.
And that's one thing about this movie. I mean, you know, we've watched many an action film, and we've actually talked about some of this on the site, where when somebody gets shot... pump full of lead. I mean, nary a drop of blood in sight. I mean, in this movie, I mean, you got the swoops flying aplenty. I mean, when Kenny gets shot, I mean, man, it's...
Yeah, there's viscera all over, and then there's a funny line right after. Somebody call a paramedic.
Right, because, I mean...
this guy's intestines are all over the place.
Exactly. I mean, if anything, someone call the Undertaker, the morgue, right?
Yeah.
But, which is kind of hilarious, is that there's actually some other, you know, program going on.
Yeah.
Headed by another OCP member, Bob Morton. Bob Morton, played by the great Miguel Ferrer. And he's got the actual RoboCop program, which is quite funny, because in this corporation, you know, you kind of got these two dueling projects.
Yeah. And who would have thought that the CEO would not be kept abreast of this secondary project? So they've got something else in the pipeline other than malfunctioning, psychotic military cyborgs in their arsenal. They've got a prototype cop, from which obviously this film's name is derived. And they have, you know, a one-man gang, to reference 80s wrestling, if you remember that character.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cop who's a robot. And again, he's not saddled with maybe the racism or the trigger happiness a usual cop might have. And of course, the CEO is just thrilled with this.
Okay, but before we get to RoboCop, we've got to talk about how a cop became RoboCop.
Yeah, we got this transfer to downtown Detroit, whose name is Murphy.
Right.
And he's a family man. You know, he's got a young boy. And he's the new recruit, the new hire.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's partnered up with Officer Ann Lewis, who's played by Nancy Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Allen is famous for being the ex-wife of Brian De Palma. she appeared in a number of films, Carrie, Dressed to Kill, Blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all the Palma movies, and Nancy Allen here plays...
sort of a butchy, you know, ass-kicking female cop.
Right. And her and Murphy, Officer Murphy, get partnered together, and they're on a patrol, and I guess it's a bad day on the job. We all have them, right?
Yeah.
This is a really bad day.
It's his first day on the job.
It's his first day on the job.
He has to chase some bank robbers, and they're led by... Kirkwood Smith.
I mean, he plays Clarence Boddicker.
Yes, and our listeners, maybe not in the UK, but on these shores, will know this actor from his role as the patriarch from That 70s Show, which is a pretty bad sitcom that's set in the 70s. It launched Ashton Kutcher and for that work.
And
not exactly grateful.
Well, I mean, it should be down for that alone.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny because, I mean, Kirkwood Smith, again, I mean, he was best known for being the father on the 70s Show. But I mean, in this movie, I mean, he is like
evil,
ultimate villain. And it's so funny because, on one hand, I mean, he looks nothing like, you know, the ultimate evil. I mean, the guy's bespectacled, he's balding, he's short.
Yeah, he sort of reminds me of the villain from The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Like, he's got a calculated, sort of skinny, sort of intellectual, sort of aesthetic, and he's really effective.
But he's great. I mean, so basically, as you said before, we see them sort of like a prey bank robbery, where he's kind of braiding his goons because they burned some of the money.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're in a van just hightailing it, and this money has been burned, and he's pissed. And they are chased by Murphy and Lewis Detroit Highway. And, of course, there's a major shootout ensues. And... you know, this guy is a bad motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
They open the doors to take aim at these two cops in tow, and one of his henchmen gets shot.
Which leads me to one of my... I mean, this is a movie filled with gray lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Gray line. Can you fly, Bobby?
And that question is answered in the affirmative when they take poor Bobby, who's been shot in the leg. It's, you know, it's tough work being a henchman. And they take Bobby, they throw him out of the back of the van, and he lands right on the windshield of Murphy and Lewis's cop car. Mm. And, yeah, and, you know, they which buys them some time to escape to this industrial wasteland.
Sort of like abandoned warehouse on the outskirts mm-hmm. of Detroit, and with Murphy and Lewis in tow.
Yeah.
Now,
this is where we should say where maybe it's better to have a robot cop in this case, because this is some bad judgment shown on the part of Murphy and Lewis. They've been shot at by six guys in a getaway van with high-powered weaponry, and mm-hmm. they decide, the two of them, to go after these guys. In this warehouse.
Yes.
Not a sound, savvy move.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, to their credit, do call for backup, but backup is not forthcoming.
Well, yeah, and backup is not forthcoming, but they venture ahead anyway.
They venture in, yeah. And they split up.
Yeah, also not smart. No.
So, I mean, here we have poor Murphy on his first day on the job, and Lewis now... You know, here we have a nice, good, healthy dose of 80s sexism.
Yes, yes. Lewis... comes up on, you know, sneaks up on one of Boddicker's bad men, and that guy is in the midst of
taking a whiz.
She of course tells him to put his hands up, and he fails to zip up, and he just turns and faces her.
And he's a brother.
Yeah, and he just says, you know,
Can I zip up?
And you would think, being, you know, a professional, you know, member of law enforcement, she would just say no, and just cuff the guy like an episode of Cops or something. But she takes a furtive glance at his member, which is just incredibly sexist and ridiculous, but incredibly fun as well. Now, that is not a savvy move on her part, because he knocks her over a railing and incapacitates her.
Right.
So
then we have Murphy, who's basically left his own devices, mm-hmm. and... before you know it, he's in a room with Boddicker and all his henchmen, and...
he takes out two of them.
He does take out two of them, but I mean, the reality of the matter is that he gets turned... He's shot the shit. I mean, he gets turned into a slice of Swiss.
Yeah, forget about Kenny earlier. He's fucking just completely flayed and just pumped full of lead.
And once again, I mean, you know, I
in
mean...
in a very sadistic manner.
Yes. This movie, released in the tail end of the 80s, I recall as a young child seeing it. I rented it on VHS.
Yeah.
And I mean, as a child, I mean, I had never seen such unmitigated violence this movie.
Perpetrated against the cop. Yeah,
exactly.
He's supposed to be the good guy, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, not only does... So here I'm seeing this cop, and I'm expecting him to be the hero. He's going to save the day, but no. He gets his hand shut off. He gets his arm shut off. All of a sudden, Boddicker goes, na 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 na, shoots him in the groin.
Yeah.
Right? He gets fucking massacred. Before you know it, he's shot in the temple. He's dead. Or at least we think he's dead, right?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but he's not dead. He's conscripted to be part of this...
Pilot program,
yeah. So we see him coming to, unbelievably so, in the next scene where...
RoboCop program.
The RoboCop program. He's been, obviously, I guess he signed some sort of waiver, and he's in, under the, I guess his family has no say on whether he's cremated or whatnot. He just becomes a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I guess, they affix him with cyborg parts.
Right.
Arms, legs, everything other than his, I think, is his head.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, hence RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to, you know, we're going back to the Detroit Police, you know, the headquarters, and they're, again, complaining about going on strike, and all of a sudden, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh,
yeah.
Whoosh.
Not exactly going to allay their fears about their usefulness when, in the midst of threatening job action, they got this super cop who could replace any one of these guys, who's just an ultimate badass, who's got armor and who can shoot better than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And without the, you know, the drawback of having, well, frankly, to pay him.
I mean, the guy, he doesn't have to be paid, he doesn't have to sleep, he doesn't have to eat. I mean, this is like your super cop.
Yeah, all they have to do is really feed him with some sort of weird, you know,
paddle mask baby food.
Yeah, paste.
Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, RoboCop is the future of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean,
he becomes a minor celeb.
He does. I mean, this is a guy, I mean, one of the first times you see RoboCop in action, I mean, he's out there on patrol all by himself, and he's in the cop car, and he comes across a liquor store robbery.
Yeah.
Which is quite incredible. I mean, the guy does not, and when I say the guy, I mean the robo. Yeah. I mean, no concern for collateral damage whatsoever. Yeah. You know, a guy's trying to hold up a poor couple who's running a mom-and-pop liquor store.
Yeah.
RoboCop comes in there and goes, you know, they're alive, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
And takes a guy and just throws, no collateral damage, throws him all over the fucking bloody place, willy-nilly.
Yeah, let's hope they have insurance. He just throws him right into a bar fridge, and that's the end of that guy.
Yep, and the next time we see RoboCop, he's thwarting an attempted sexual assault. What a scene is this?
Yes, and he's got, as we said, impeccable aim, and he puts a bullet between the legs of this woman who's being assaulted, but, you know, obviously with impeccable aim, rips through her skirt, but... Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
harm her
at all.
Doesn't graze her and just hits the assailant behind her.
Right, and shoots him right in the groin.
Yeah.
As you recall. Now, it's funny because, I mean, you know, this is, you know, he was Murphy, now he's RoboCop, and, I mean, you got, the question is, I mean, how much of him is man, how much of him is machine?
Yeah.
And when he saves this woman from certain sexual assault, she's grateful, she runs into his arms, thank you, and he goes, lady, you've just been the victim of a purported sexual assault, let me give you a number for a rape crisis hotline. So, I mean, you know, the humanity is gone, but...
it's almost like a... Yeah, like a Blade Runner kind of thing. It's like Philip K. Dick, you know, do androids dream of
electric sheep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how much of this guy is man and how much is machine?
And it's amazing.
Really interesting.
It's interesting when we talk about a movie like this about man versus machine to set it in Detroit.
Yeah, the birthplace of the assembly line, automation, and Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I... Basically, I mean, Boddicker and his goons... are running wild. I mean, they're into the drug trade, they're into everything. And, you know, through some sort of contrivances here and there, RoboCop starts to sort of realize...
He becomes self-aware,
exactly. Yeah. And he starts to realize that, you know what, at one point he might have actually been a human being by the name of Murphy. And the other thing, too, is that Lewis... sees him and she recognizes him. And she goes, Murphy.
Yeah, why didn't they cover his face?
You know, I mean,
with that helmet that was, you know, screwed on with like a, you know, an electric screwdriver.
Yeah, with all the requires a drill to take it out. Yeah. You know, a couple of bolts, boom, it's gone. But you know what, I gotta say, before we even talk about that, what a performance by Peter Weller. I mean, the guy was encased in this incredible iconic suit.
Mm-hmm.
All you saw was his lower jaw, and yet, emotive as can be, great performance. Ultimately, RoboCop comes to realize that his predicament, his plight, the reason why he's no longer amongst the living is because of Boddicker.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it his mission to go extract revenge.
Yeah.
And Lewis...
Yeah, he it becomes a buddy pick at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interim, I guess... Boddicker is making a deal with the least Italian-looking mafioso I've ever seen, who's got some sort of... I guess this precedes the meth epidemic in North America, but he's got a drug lab, and they don't really say what he's manufacturing, but yeah, Boddicker inserts himself into the situation and sort of forces himself to be a partner with this mafioso. And meanwhile, as Murphy slash RoboCop becomes more self-aware, he... starts to use some of the police resources to scan their databases to see who comprises Boddicker's henchmen. So there's a pretty funny scene where he tracks one of his alpha goons to a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is your typical techno nightclub. And this goon is dancing away and RoboCop just saunters right onto the dance floor and has this altercation with him, which is just hilarious. you know, where the goon pulls out a gun. Robocop knocks it right out of his hand, and one of the dancing techno denizens catches the gun, and he keeps dancing, which is just great. And then that's followed by the goon kicking Robocop in the groin, and this is something we loved when we saw this at age 12 or 13, whatever. Kicks him in the groin. Oh, you know, hurts his foot because the guy's obviously made out of titanium, and you know, Robocop disarms him.
Interestingly enough, in this scene, we do have a cameo from Paul Verhoeven himself.
Yes.
He actually plays one of the techno dancers, and for a second or two, you see this maniacal...
Hold me closer, techno dancer.
We see this maniacal face filling the screen, and it's actually Paul Verhoeven. But, this is the grabs on the henchman, and he closes in on Boddicker, and this leads us to another incredible scene where he... confronts Boddicker,
yeah,
and he's greeting him as Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. Throws him through some glass. You have the right to return it. Throws him through some glass, and on and on, yeah, and on and on. And I mean, you know,
so I guess the human part of him is sort of overriding the concern for
vengeance.
Yeah, your concern for prisoners' rights and whatnot.
Well, I mean, you know, again, like, you're a move creep. That was
you're a move creep. Yeah,
Robocops, they're all creeps. Now, it's funny because when they originally shot the scene, there was some concern that actual policemen would be offended by the fact that he's interrupting their Miranda rights by continually throwing this nefarious villain through glass.
It's like glass, yeah.
But as it turns out, the policeman loved it, right? Yeah. So he then
takes... That's kind of scary.
So he takes... he grabs Boddicker, he throws him in, he takes him to the precinct, throws him on the desk, and goes, book him.
Book him, yeah.
For what? He's a cop killer.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Boddicker, being the fucking badass that he is, just fucking spits a lot of blood right on the desk. But anyway,
considering, you know, Boddicker... He's got a lot of corrupt law enforcement officials on his payroll. He doesn't stick around in their charge for very long.
Well, it's not so much a law official, but he's actually in cahoots with OCP. He's in cahoots with not Morton, who was the creator of RoboCop, but Dick Jones, the guy who actually created the ED-209.
Yeah.
And so
he sprung fairly quickly.
He sprung fairly quickly, which leads us to the vendetta that RoboCop has. I mean, despite the fact that Boddicker is... released, I mean, RoboCop and Lewis still want to bring him to justice. Now, at this point, we should say that the Detroit cops have gone on strike. And now, if Detroit wasn't a war zone before, it's a fucking war zone now.
Yeah.
Now, before we we'll talk a bit about the war zone and, you know, some tension, but let's talk about the entertainment in Detroit. Again, I mean,
in addition to techno nightclubs, well, yeah, there's a show that every single person seems to be just smitten with, whether it be the liquor store owners, the mom and poppers, or one of the second in command, one of Boddicker's goons.
Emil.
He's watching it, and it's some show that a little bit like these Italian variety shows where they have these buxom women and a sort of old lecherous guy who hosts it, and this guy has this catchphrase. And it's, I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, yeah, and that's sort of an interesting satire on how, you know, the masses are just distracted by just ridiculous garbage on television.
Yep.
And, yeah, this is just something that sort of it happens in the beginning and in the mid-section of the film and later on. It's a recurring motif here.
Indeed. So, at the end of the day, basically we have RoboCop and his ex-partner Lewis going after Boddicker. And once again, I mean...
Another chase. Leads them to another abandoned industrial wasteland.
Yeah.
There's a great, great acid bath scene.
Oh my God. I mean, I got to tell you again, when I first saw this movie as a young kid, I mean, that scene where his henchman Emil is bathed in acid and it comes out as like this like oozing toxic monster. And he's just like, help me, help me, help me. And nobody, help is not forthcoming.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just like, I mean, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, there's this chase and like Boddicker, like, you know, hits him with a car and his head goes flying over the car. I mean, this is one of my favorite gore gags in movie history.
Yeah.
I would watch this movie, rewind it, watch it again, watch it in slow-mo.
Jeez.
Absolutely
fucking incredible.
It's one of the greatest. I mean,
there are not many perks to working for Boddicker.
Not at all. No, I mean, whether you're being thrown out of moving vehicles, you know, out of Bobby, can you fly Bobby, or being drenched in acid and having, you know, nobody coming to your aid. I mean, Boddicker basically not exactly the best
boss. Not the best boss.
No, he's definitely not up there with, like, you know, the 20 best employers. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, look, I mean, RoboCop is an enduring classic. I mean, not only is this movie one of the best action films ever made, it's also extremely satirical. It's a pretty incisive satire of the Reagan era in the 80s. And as I said before, I mean, the influence of RoboCop, I mean, it spawned sequels, Imitators, a cartoon, a live-action TV show. They all pale in comparison. RoboCop, the original, starring Peter Weller, Nancy Allen, Herbert Smith. This is the shit. This is one of the best, you know, one of my favorite movies.
Arguably, I guess one of the better sci-fi movies of all time, I would say.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Chris, what did you learn from RoboCop?
Well, I learned that, you know, it's like the Wild West. If you're two beat cops chasing after some extremely well-armed, you know, bank robbers, who have semi-automatic rifles, machine guns, and every sort of weaponry at their disposal. Don't worry about backup. They'll come in time. You just charge in, all guns a-blazing, and just go try and take them out yourself.
And, of course,
And most beat cops, they barely, you know, they'd be hard-pressed to pull their weapons maybe in an entire career. But these guys, the first day on the job, too.
400 times within the 1 hour and a half running time. You know, I learned a couple things. I learned that, you know, if you're going to create a replacement cop, I mean, this is before RoboCop, this is the ED-209, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to invest millions and millions of dollars into this robotic cop that ostensibly can then, you know, bring peace to the mean streets of Detroit, as well as being used for military purposes.
Yeah.
Make sure it can navigate a flight of stairs.
Yeah. ED-209 gets stuck, you know, on the landing of a flight of stairs, and it just can't move. It's just done.
It's like a turtle on its back. Yeah. Like, you know, it's all of a sudden, it's immobile.
I would also add, given what happened to their colleague, I mean, this poor bastard got, I guess, you know, 20 rounds of machine gun fire into his body. You would think they would pick, like, give the guy at least like a helmet that covers his visage. Like, you know, it must be incredibly traumatic for his colleagues to say, "Hey, isn't that Murphy?" But no one ever references the fact that, hey, it could be Murphy other than partner Lewis. Right. No one else seems to recognize that he's Murphy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he was on the job for one day, but he's got a pretty distinctive jutting chin. But anyway.
The other thing I learned, Chris, before we sign off, I got to say, is don't stop believing in RoboCop.
Yeah.
RoboCop, I mean, look, RoboCop is the shit, okay?
Yeah.
And, I mean,
Stop Believing. Were you going to sing that Journey tune?
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. Don't Stop Believing, one of the best songs ever written.
Yeah.
Right? Are we in agreement?
Yeah, I was going to say, it featured prominently in The Sopranos. And when you want to talk about bad bosses, there's a soprano, like one of the guys who worked for him in the Bada Bing, he beat that guy mercilessly in at least 20 episodes. But again, Don't Stop Believing, the famous lyric about South Detroit, and I put that in air quotes, there's no such thing as
South Detroit,
born and raised in South Detroit.
Windsor in Ontario,
It's actually Ontario, Canada.
But one of my favorite videos I've ever seen on YouTube, and it's still there, so if you want to go check it out, just type in Don't Stop Believing in RoboCop. They actually mash up Don't Stop Believing by Journey, the real Journey with Steve Perry, and the scenes of RoboCop. And man, it's just incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. The lyrics, Smell of Wine and Cheap Perfume. You know, there's just
Smell of Wine and Cheap Perfume.
You got it, man. There's a scene where Boddicker sticks his fingers in that
in the glass of wine. The mafioso is drinking wine. That's about the only Italian thing about him.
Exactly. So, I mean, here we are, 2015. Where is RoboCop? We need RoboCop on the streets.
For sure, yeah.
Yep, you know?
So, given what happened in New York and in Florida with Trayvon Martin, maybe we need to replace NYPD, LAPD, Toronto PD with a bunch of cyborgs.
Yep, for sure.
Maybe it's not a dystopia. Maybe it's a utopia. Who knows?
You got it, man.
Unless they malfunction.
Well, but, yeah. Which RoboCop never does. He's a hero.
Yeah, you know, it's very true.
ED-209 does. Yeah. Fuck ED-209.
Yeah.
It's all about RoboCop.
Yeah.
So, star rating, Chris, what do you give
it? Yeah, definitely 4. It's, it actually you know, has held up incredibly well. Mm. And unlike some movies which just appear incredibly dated, this is just as relevant and interesting and, you know, informative and valuable as it was back then.
For sure. It was really prescient in its day, mm-hmm. and which is amazing because today, like, it holds up. I mean, it's there's nothing dated about it. Beyond that, it's just an incredibly kick-ass action film. And so I'm going to give it 4 stars too. This is one of those films I cannot recommend more high. This is one of my absolute favorite action films ever made. This one, like Die Hard, like my two absolute favorites. Maybe First Blood as well.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
RoboCop, one of the better ones. So, for more?
Yeah, check out reallyawfulmovies.com. And hell, check out the D as well. Like, give them some of your tourist dollars. Go visit Detroit. They could really appreciate it. It's a cool town.
It's actually not a bad town. It's not a bad rap. And you know what? Like I said, I was there 6 months ago. I had a great time. I just have to worry about it.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.